Some of the best movies and TV shows have something in common together. They have two characters that are the best of friends, two characters that just, well, if one of them weren't part of that TV show or movie, it just wouldn't be that good. And so we're going to have a little bit of fun with this right now. So if you're watching online, jump into chat. If you're watching this on demand and maybe you're watching with someone, you can have a little competition to see who can be the first to guess the counterpart to these movie or TV show kind of duos. The first one was a movie that is just one of those iconic movies. Who is Buzz Lightyear's best friend? Go. You all guessed it. Yep, it's Woody, right? And without either one of these, right, the movie wouldn't be the same. Well, for some of you, you're going to have to think back a few years. Maybe you've never seen the show, or maybe you grew up watching this show. But Andy Taylor's best friend was, yep, you guessed it, Barney Fife. Now, if you're a fan of this TV show, Parks and Recreation, well, you'll know this is Leslie Knope, and you have to get her best friend's first and last name, because if you watch the show, you know her best friend, I mean, always was referred by her first and last name, and that is Ann Perkins. And then you have this famous duo. You have Lucy and her best friend. Again, I mean, the laughter came because they were together, Lucy and Ethel. There you go. And then there's Christopher Robin. And you all know Christopher Robin's best friend, Winnie the Pooh. And you think about that friendship. Whether you grew up reading the book, maybe you grew up watching the classic cartoon version, or maybe the most recent version. There's so many moments and interactions between Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh that just reflects the depth of their friendship, the love that they had for each other, and their need for each other. In the classic Disney cartoon version of Winnie the Pooh, there's a moment where Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh were climbing a tree together, and they were having just a life conversation, and Winnie the Pooh was just talking about what if one day that they're not together. What if one day they're separated? What if one day, you know, that they don't see each other? And Winnie the Pooh says to Christopher Robin, who would I call on those days when I'm not strong enough or brave enough? Or who would I ask for advice when I didn't even know which way to turn? Who, Christopher Robin, who? Because for Winnie the Pooh, I mean, Christopher Robin was his go-to friend. And as they continued to climb this tree and find this big branch, and they both sat down, and Winnie the Pooh leaned against the tree trunk, and Christopher Robin straddled the branch and kind of looked at Pooh in the eyes. Christopher Robin said, if one day, we are separated, you need to know, Pooh, that you're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. You see, there's something in these movies, these TV shows, when there's these two characters that have that type of friendship that just draws us into the storyline. Because there's something within all of us that desires, that needs, that, well, we're created to have relationships like that. Over this series, Unstitched, we've been following the storyline of a guy named Elijah. And Elijah is a prophet of God, meaning he's a spokesperson of God. And so God would tell him where to go and what to say, and Elijah would just follow God. And that was his life mission, to be God's spokesperson. And along this storyline, we discover that Elijah saw God do some incredible things, but then there was this point where Elijah runs for his life. He escapes, he isolates, he ruminates, he neglects. I mean, he's in a bad place. He's in a dark place. Life is not going good for Elijah. And God leads Elijah to a mountain, to a cave. And in that moment, God whispers to Elijah. And God tells him to do three things. To anoint the next king of Syria, Hazael, to be king. The second thing he told Elijah to do was to anoint the next king of Israel, the northern kingdom, Jehu, to be king. And the third thing that God told Elijah to do was to go find Elisha, anoint him to be the next prophet, to hand the baton from him, Elijah, to Elisha. And so what does Elijah do? Well, he went and found Elisha. Now, we could just move past this moment, but we can't move this past this moment because we have to fully understand Elijah was still not in a good place. I mean, right before he went to find Elisha, God was asking Elijah. I mean, remember this from last week, part two. God said, hey, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Twice God asked him. And both times, Elijah responds in the same exact way. Same exact way. God, all of Israel, all of your people left you, turned their back on you. They're worshiping other gods, Baal and Asherah, all. Hey, God, I'm the only prophet left. No other prophets. I'm the only one. And God doesn't even engage in Elijah's ruminating. God doesn't even respond to Elijah's thought process. God looks at Elijah, says, I have a purpose for you. There's action. Elijah, you just need to keep moving. You see, faith is not dependent on feeling. So many times, we connect faith to feeling. And what we see in Elijah's life, and what we see in countless other storylines throughout the Bible, that faith is dependent on following. Have you ever woken up and said, well, I just don't feel like going to church? Have you ever walked into church or logged on to church online and said, well, I just don't feel it today? Have you ever prayed and said, well, I just don't feel God? Have you ever went and to help serve someone and you just didn't feel it? I'm just telling you. So many times we make faith decisions based off of feeling. And feelings come and go. Feelings are so emotionally complex. And faith is dependent on following, whether you feel like it or not. Elijah didn't feel like it. I'm telling you, he just didn't feel like it. But he went. He went. Because what Elijah understood, that was about his call to follow God. So Elijah went. He found Elisha. Elisha was in the fields, and we're told that there was 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing them. And this is so important to understand, because this is a picture that Elisha, part of his family farm, it was a very lucrative farm. It was a very robust business venture. I mean, Elisha was part of something. I mean, 12 teams of oxen. I mean, this was a large operation that Elisha was part of. And that one day, right, it'd get handed down to him. I mean, Elisha had his entire life plan, his purpose laid out for him. I mean, he was part of the family business, and business was good. And Elijah walks up to Elisha, and he throws his cloak across his shoulders and then simply walked away. I mean, the symbol of Elijah throwing the cloak over his shoulders was a powerful symbol of saying, Elisha, the call of prophet is being laid upon you, and you are to follow me, because one day I'm going to hand the baton over to you. I mean, this was a powerful moment. Elisha knew full well what this moment was all about. But Elijah just walks away. So Elisha, well, he runs after Elijah and says to him, hey, first let me go back and kiss my mother and father goodbye, and then I will go with you. Hey, Elijah, I got to say all my goodbyes. I mean, this is my family. I mean, my family. I got to say goodbye first. And Elijah simply says to him, go back, but think about what I have done. Go back, Elisha. Go say all your goodbyes. Kiss your mama goodbye. High five, hug your dad goodbye. I mean, say all your best friends growing up, say goodbye. Your brothers and sisters, say goodbye. I mean, tell everyone goodbye. But think about what I have done. You see, when Elijah walks up to Elisha, he doesn't say anything. He places his cloak over him and walks away. The symbol was clear. But how many questions do you think Elisha had? Well, where are we going next? And how long? And will I ever be able to come back home again? And is this for a temporary period of time or is this forever? I mean, think about the number of questions that Elisha had for Elijah. But here's what Elijah knew. The God consistently requires action before answers. And that's why Elijah looks at Elisha and says, fine, go say your goodbyes. Go tell everyone what you are about ready to do. Go, but think about what I've done right in this moment. Because Elijah knew that all of his family members, all of his friends would ask him countless questions that Elisha didn't have answers for. And Elijah knew the faith isn't connected to feeling, because the feelings of saying goodbye to loved ones and family members and friends and the security of your home and the security of your future, security of your livelihood, those feelings are strong feelings with Elijah. Faith is connected to following. So Elijah goes to say his goodbyes, but not only does he go say his goodbye, we're told that he takes his oxen team and he slaughters them. And then he uses the wood that would bind them together, like the plows. He took the wood and used it for a fire. And he cooked a feast. I mean, this is so powerful of a symbol of Elisha's commitment to say, this current life that I know right now is done. I'm moving on to a new day. I can't come back home. I can't come back to my old life. I can't come back. It was Elisha saying, I'm turning the page over. A new chapter is started, and now I'm following God. And not only does Elisha cook this amazing meal for his family, we're told that he fed the entire town. I mean, Elisha goes public with this decision to say, I am following God's call. Follow. Don't have all the answers, but I'm following. I'm following. And over the next years, Elisha walked beside Elijah. Over the next years, Elisha served Elijah. He learned from Elijah. They went wherever God told them to go. They said whatever God told them to say. And those two together spent countless hours together talking life, talking about the faith journey, talking about what God had called them to do, talking about what they just experienced. I mean, they spent every moment together. But here's what Elijah knew and Elisha knew. They both knew that one day the baton from Elijah was going to be officially handed over to Elisha. But that timing was in God's hands. So one day, they're traveling from Gilgal, and Elijah looks at Elisha and says, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha, just quickly responds, says, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. And then a group of prophets show up, and these prophets come to Elisha, and they, well, this is what they ask him. They said, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? And you could just tell all of Elisha's frustration just in this whole moment, saying, yeah, I fully understand. Of course I know. I've been walking with my friend for the past numerous years. Like, yes, I know what's going on. Be quiet about it. Stop talking about it. Leave me alone. Allow me this time with my friend. And then Elijah looks at Elisha a second time. He says, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." And Elisha responds the same exact way. He goes, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went together to Jericho. And then another group of prophets come to Elisha, and they say, "Hey, did you know? Did you know?" And again, Elisha, just has to be beyond himself, going, "Yes, of course I know. Be quiet. Leave me alone. Get out of here. Allow me time with my mentor, my leader, my friend." And then Elijah says to Elisha a third time, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." And how do you think Elisha responds? Yeah, same way. "Surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself, I will never leave you." So they went on together. You see, life is better together. It just is. We are designed to do life together. It's why over and over again, God connects people's storylines together, because God knows how we're wired. It's why the social isolation has been so difficult for everyone, no matter your personality type. This is not a personality type thing. This is about how God has created us for relationship. It's why in Elijah's one of his darkest moments, on the side of the cave, saying to God, "God, I'm the only one. I'm by myself. I've given you everything. I've followed you. I've stayed faithful when I haven't felt like it. I followed you. Hey, God, I'm all by myself." And what does God do? He sends him. So his story would connect with Elisha's story. You see, this isn't in the text, but you know. Over these years that these two spent together, Elijah told Elisha about the moment where God rained down fire. This is part one of Unstitched. God rained down fire from heaven, burned out the altar, and then the evil Queen Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you, Elijah." And what does Elijah do? He escapes. He runs for his life. And as he's escaping, running for his life, his assistant, his travel companion, his servant, someone just like Elijah says to him, "Stay here." And what does that assistant, that servant do? Actually stays there, which then means Elijah is now all by himself. And when he gets all by himself, he starts to ruminate. And when he starts to ruminate, he says to God, "God, my life is worthless. I just want to die." And then he stops eating, stops drinking. God has to come and feed him and give him water. And then God leads him to the cave. And God's answer to Elijah on the side of that mountain was to say, "Go find Elisha." Because life is better together. Go find Elisha. Bring him beside you. Everywhere you go, he needs to come with you because life is always better together. Because we need each other. We need each other. So as they continue to journey together, Elijah looks at Elisha and says, hey, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. Hey, Elisha, I know this is a difficult day. This is a day we both knew would come. This is a day that we both knew was going to take place. This was a day that we've wanted to avoid talking about, but we're here now. Hey, Elisha, I'm going to be leaving this earth. So what can I do for you? Can you sense just the love and the friendship and the humility of Elijah to Elisha? Say, hey, this is a hard day for me because I know my life is coming to an end. But Elisha, what can I do for you? And Elisha says, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. And on the surface level, this might feel kind of raw to you. Maybe like on the surface, the first time I read this, I kind of felt like, well, that's cold and insensitive of Elisha, right? Elisha's like standing next to his mentor, his friend, and his friend's getting ready to die, to leave the earth. And Elisha comes back and says, I want a double portion. But in fact, this statement is anchored to deep, deep humility. This statement is anchored to deep, deep respect. This statement reflects the depth of love that Elisha has for Elijah. You see, this double share, Elisha was saying to Elijah, hey, I know you're leaving, and you're going to pass that baton to me, and there's no way I can even be close to measure up to who you were as a man of God. There's no way that I can be even close to the prophet Elijah that you are. There's no way that I can even attempt to wear the shoes that you have on. There's no way I can fill the gap, Elijah. When you're gone, there's just no way I can even come close to it. Hey, Elijah, I mean, you're going to leave this world, and I know it's going to come on my shoulders, but Elijah, I need something because I can't do it. I've walked with you. I've heard you. I've watched you. I've been beside you, and there's just no way. So friend, I just need something from you. And Elijah looks at his friend and says, you've asked a difficult thing. But if you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. Well, Elijah is saying, hey, Elisha, if God orchestrates this so you actually see me leave, then God will give it to you. But this is in God's hands, not in my hands. So they continue to walk together and talk together. I wonder what this conversation was like. I wonder if Elijah just sees these moments just to pour every last piece of wisdom and knowledge in. I wonder if they reflected back to that first time they met each other and Elisha was in that field with his oxen team. I wonder if they just talked about the countless moments where they saw God do incredible things. I wonder if they talked about the moments where they just didn't know how God was going to show up. I just wonder what they talked about. But as they walked along and talked together, spending every last moment together, suddenly, a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. That moment, where Elisha experienced God taking Elijah up into heaven, where Elijah didn't have to face an earthly death. And then God said to Elisha, the baton has been passed to you. You see, maybe, what you're going through is not about you. Think about that. What Elijah was going through, as he was telling God, God, I'm the only one. God, everyone else is worshiping Baal and Asherah. God, everyone else, I'm the only one. Just let me die. Release me. I'm done with this. I've had enough. Hey, God. And what does God do? Hey, Elijah, maybe what you're going through has nothing to do with you. Hey, Elijah, maybe everything you're experiencing, something so much greater than you. And maybe right now, what you're going through is not about you. Maybe what you're going through, maybe your cancer, it's not about you. Maybe your countless trips to the hospital is not about you. Maybe your marriage that is crumbling, maybe it's not about you. Maybe a child that's wandering away, maybe it's not about you. Maybe the job you just lost is not about you. Maybe you working a temporary job just to bring money in and you hate waking up, maybe it's not about you. Maybe that college professor that's making it so difficult on you, maybe it's not about you. Maybe what you're going through is not about you, but it's about who God is leading you to. Because God led Elijah to Elisha, and God knew who Elijah needed, and God knew who Elisha needed. You see, life is better together. God created us to do life together. In the good times and the difficult times. There's a guy named Bill Withers that wrote one of these iconic classic songs. And in a video interview back in 2007, he talked about just growing up as a child in a very poor West Virginia town. In a town where literally the train tracks separated the white and the black people. He talked about the poverty. He shared one story where his house, his family owned a telephone, and a family right across the street, they owned a refrigerator. And so that family would come over to use their phone, and they would go over to get ice from their refrigerator, and how he grew up just realizing that, well, life is better together, that we really need each other. He talked about working in the mines, and white and black people would come together to work in the mines. But when you're working in the mines, it was a life and death job. And they realized that they needed each other. And in this 2007 interview, Bill Withers said, what's interesting is as we all left the mine, we were all black because the soot had covered all of us. And he got this smile on his face because he learned that the color of skin didn't matter. It's about life is better together. And out of growing up in extreme poverty, growing up with racial division, growing up working a job that he never knew whether or not he was going to come out of the mines alive, he wrote the words, lean on me. Why? Because life is better together.
And sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, and I'll help you carry on, for you won't be long till I have things you need to buy.
Life is better together. It just is. It's why the church, a gathering of people, is the hope of the world. As God intersects stories together to help each other. The Tri-County Church, we call it the life path. And the life path is all about connecting your story with other people's stories so that together, right? Life is better together. And the first step onto the life path is what we call Discover TCC. And maybe you've been part of Tri-County Church for years and years and years, or maybe this is your first weekend connecting in. I want to encourage you, take a step, your first step to Discover TCC. Our next one is going to be May 14th, 6:30 p.m. It's going to be on Zoom. And we're going to drop that link in. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go to tcconline.church/whatsup. I mean, all these different places. Take a step, sign up for it, and take your first step on the life path, because we want to partner with you to connect your story with someone else's story. And together, just watch what God's going to do in you and through you. Remember, hold on to that maybe what you're going through right now, and what you're going through, I'm sure it's big. I'm sure the mountain, the obstacle in front of you is massive. I'm sure what you're going through right now is overwhelming. I'm sure what you're going through is unprecedented. I'm sure what you're going through right now, like I don't want to make light of it, but maybe what you're going through is not about you. It's about who God is leading you to. So next time you walk into the cancer center, maybe you just say a simple prayer. Hey, God, connect my story with someone else sitting here. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a word of encouragement, a word of hope. Maybe you just put your arm around someone and say, hey, I know today is a difficult day, but we're here together. Maybe the next time you walk in the doctor's office or into that hospital waiting room, you find someone and you just breathe hope and joy into them. Maybe the next time you wake up and you're going to that temporary job because you lost your other job and this is a dead-end job for you and you don't like it at all, maybe you wake up and say, God, today, connect my story with someone else's story. And when you walk into that job, you breathe life and hope into someone. Maybe right now, You have a child that's wandering away from you and you're doing everything you can. Maybe, just maybe, you call a parent and you encourage a parent. Why? Because maybe what you're going through is not about you. It's about who God is leading you to. Just maybe. God wants to take your mountain right now and lead you off that mountain to someone's life. Because God is a perfecter at connecting stories together. But remember, faith is not about feeling. Faith is about following. This week, seize every moment knowing that God wants to connect your story with someone else's story. Let's pray. Lord, I know what people are going through is massive. But Lord, you move mountains. Lord, you lead and guide. You've just called us to follow. So Lord, I just pray that no matter what every individual is facing right now, that they'll realize that just maybe, that mountain is all about you leading them to connect them with someone that desperately needs someone to walk beside them. Lord, I pray that we are that church. We're that church that understands that life is better together. In your name I pray.